To Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament, and to the sprinkling of blood which speaketh better than that of Abel. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from the sequence of today's Mass and from the 12th chapter of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even at a high Mass with full choir and organ, or a congregational high Mass, such as we have here during the summer at St. Gertrude the Great, and certainly at a low Mass, our Mass, our Catholic worship, unlike Protestant or Novus Ordo worship, is primarily a silent affair. Did you ever wonder why? Well, our silence honors the silence of Christ as he shed his blood during his passion and death. It expresses the awe at the holiness, at the otherness of the mysteries that are being represented here from Sunday to Sunday before our eyes. And it enables and it fosters prayer, the lifting up of our hearts and minds to God. Last month, I was finishing up teaching a seminary course on the post-Vatican II liturgy, and I decided to show the seminarians, about half of whom had never attended a Novus Ordo, videos of what the service could be like. So I selected an array of about 20 to 30 videos from the internet. It was quite an eye-opener for the young men. There were the usual impressions one would expect, the irreverence of the rite, the silliness, the casual atmosphere, the horrible music. But there was one impression overall in particular that they got, and that was of endless noise and of endless activity. There's no silence, it seemed, whatsoever. Indeed, in the new rite, you're never left alone. There's always someone with a microphone who is yammering at you or raising up her hands to tell you, okay, now's the time to respond. Now's the time to sing. There's no silence in the church before either. There's talking, there's this whole din of socializing. And that's something that we tend to forget as well. It's very much a part of the new rite. My own parish church, St. Robert's in Shorewood in Milwaukee, had a very beautiful communion rail. At some point, they removed the communion rail and they moved it to the back quarter of the church. There they removed the pews and they put in an area where you could talk and you could socialize in the church before or after their so-called Mass. Conversely, when Novus Ordo types come to a traditional low Mass for the first time, they're struck by the quiet and by the silence. There's none of the nagging to respond, to participate, to make noise. So over the past couple of months, we've been examining the elements of the Mass in a series, the prayers and the gestures, their meaning, the greater lessons that they convey to us. What of this silence, this absence of sound, as it were? What are its general effects? When does it occur during the Mass? What does it symbolize? What does it convey to us? And how should we use it? First, the general effects of silence. Especially in our own world, we have noise coming at us all the time, it seems. Mechanical and electrical noise, and it's a constant. Even in places where one would expect at least a bit of silence for conversation, such as a restaurant, there's always a din of music and of noise in the background. Silence lulls the outward senses into a receptive condition. And this induces tranquility, repose, and an inward peace. And since we are creatures of body and soul, the lack of noise or the lack of feeling the inclination to make noise relaxes the tension of the nervous system. And gradually it induces a state of restful waiting upon God, which, if we use it well, opens us to the influence of grace. When does silence occur? Well, a high mass and choir masses, we are silent and we contemplate and we listen and we watch at what we watch, look at what goes on and what it represents. And here, our summer congregational high mass, even though we sing parts of the mass, we still contemplate and listen, for instance, when the scholar sings or when the organ plays. But at the most solemn moment, at the consecration, there is always silence. At low mass, there is generally a hushed atmosphere, even when the priest is reciting the prescribed parts aloud. And the period from the offertory to the communion is sometimes called the silence of the mass, the silence of the mass. The priest scarcely raises his voice during this interval, and he recites almost all of the prayers in a whisper. This silence of the Mass comes after the priest has recited the Confiteor, the Gloria, the Gospel, etc., out loud. But beginning at the offertory, that's when the parts pertaining properly to the sacrifice occur, the offering, the consecration, and the communion, the priest recites nearly all of the prayers in a whisper. Like our Lord on the cross, he breaks his silence only 7 times. The Orate Fratres, at the preface, at the Nobis Quoque Peccatoribus, when he beats his breast during the canon of the Mass, the Our Father, the Per Omnia Pax Domini, the Agnus Dei, and the Domine Non Sum Dignus before his communion. And for the canon itself, a sacred stillness reigns. The priest at the high altar, like the high priest of the Old Testament, enters into the Holy of Holies alone. Very fitting, for after Christ was glorified by the crowds, he hid himself away. And the silence represents Christ lying hidden. The priest prays the canon alone, as Christ did in the garden, the beginning of his passion, which the Mass represents. It is hidden from us because so great a mystery cannot be fully understood by human reason. And this was always the understanding of the Church in her practice. When I was a young organist back in the 1960s, I was looking for an accompaniment to the hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. And I happened to look in the Episcopal Church's hymn book, and they had a very nice accompaniment to it there, which I decided to use. But then I looked again at the text of the hymn, and it was taken from the Liturgy of St. James, which is the 4th or the 5th century. And we've sung it so many times ourselves. Let all mortal flesh keep silence and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descendeth, our full homage to demand. This idea of silence and awe. And then the second verse, at the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. King of kings, yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood. He will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. The motive for silence. You have to use the silence at Mass well. You have your missals, you can follow the text the priest is reading, you recite your rosary and contemplate the mysteries of our redemption, use a prayer private devotions, a prayer book, or you watch and contemplate the actions at the altar. Don't neglect to use these silent moments to formulate your own petitions to our Blessed Lord, to thank him for something, to tell him that you're sorry for your sins, to make your petitions to him, to ask or to pray for something on behalf of someone else. Sometimes we unfortunately don't know how to use silence properly, and in church we turn to distractions. But we should learn to use those distractions for our own spiritual benefit and to adore God as well. If there's something that, for instance, is preoccupying you, that is intruding into your thoughts, some problem, for instance, that you have to resolve, and you find yourself thinking about that at Mass, ask God for the grace at that point to resolve that problem. Or if there's something that you're looking forward to doing, say later in the day, and your mind wanders off to that, you can use the silence at Mass to thank God for that particular blessing. God speaks silently, said the Catholic author Carol Hauslander. God's speaking in your heart. If your heart is noisy, chattering, you will not hear it. Be grateful for the silent moments of our Mass when God invites your heart into his. Why silence at Mass? Well, we don't need to talk. When the seventh seal in the book of the Apocalypse was opened, St. John tells us that before the Lamb who had shed his blood, factum est silentium in cielo, there came a great silence in heaven. Well, here on earth, at the sacrifice of the Mass, for us, it is the blood that speaks. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.